Annie Dugan joining us on this cloudy Monday, or partly sunny Monday at any rate, to let us know where we can find art in our communities and perhaps art what we need now more than ever. Annie, hey, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Lisa, it's half full or half empty, half sunny or half cloudy, depending on what you prefer. And yes, art is definitely what we need right now, now more so than ever. I think we're seeing the power of art to imagine futures and the power of art to deal with some incredibly raw emotions. The outpouring of art that has been created in the wake of George Floyd's passing was and killing is truly remarkable. There's a group and I think the interesting thing is a lot of it is really public art. There's an amazing mural on 38th in the Twin Cities that was created by a group of folks. And just, you know, the immediacy of these memorials to this man have been absolutely, it went, they were created really quickly and with just raw power. And all of those emotions led have led people to both the protest, but also the artwork that is coming out of it. So I think one of the most, one of the interesting organizations that I turned to during this time was the U.S. Department of Arts and Culture. And you think, what? That's a government organization, and it's not. I think this is a fascinating organization because it's a grassroots arts organization. And they say, you know, there's no reason that we can't claim ourselves as this U.S. Department of Arts and Culture. We are the people of the United States. We can create this organization, and they are all about citizens' art and the fact that this we can, what better way of bringing together art as it matters to the body politic of the United States than coming from a citizens' organization. And they have really put forth a whole list of pretty amazing places to research, to look up. There's an incredible organization called Black Visions Collective as well, that is doing some really wonderful work around imagining what, because I think for me in this time, I want to first listen first, and look towards Black leaders to have them show me the way. And so that's looking towards Black artists as well in a really important way. So the Black Visions Collective is one of the places, and they have a great Instagram account where you can look and see, okay, what is the future that you want, and how can I be an ally in getting us there? So I think that, you know, whatever feelings people are having right now are the feelings people are having right now. But art can really can guide us towards using those emotions in a positive and productive and visionary way. And speaking of visionary, I can't let this moment. I think it is not. It's the passing of Christo. Christo, this amazing artist, died of natural causes and over the weekend. And this is an artist, when we think about grand, global, impossible things, right? Because I think a lot of folks are feeling right now, it's impossible to go forward. We have just this insurmountable feeling that there's this insurmountable systematic oppression of Black and brown people. We have a global pandemic. How are we going to get through this? It just seems impossible. Here's an artist. Christo was an artist who dreamed up impossible art projects, you know, would sketch out these projects that were absolutely, who is going to stretch, you know, miles and miles and miles of umbrellas, yellow umbrellas in the countryside? Who is going to, you know, fill Central Park with orange gates? Who is going to wrap literally islands in color? And here he was able to do that. He was a global artist. He and his partner were able to really harness the power of an imagination and harness this large-scale art projects that looked at our globe and our culturally built structures as their palette. And so I think that we can look back at his legacy and realize that the impossible is possible, and that gives us some hope. And then for all of us, I think there are some other interesting bright spots. The pandemic has made us, a lot of art teachers and artists, figure out how to transform what they are doing and connect with people in a different way. And one of the teachers that I've just been so impressed with is, artist sort of turned teacher, is Flo Metamoros. She is one of the directors of the Prove Gallery, and she has taught her first online class for teens, and she is documenting it through her Instagram account, and it's really wonderful to see how she has poured that kind of research and thoughtful thinking that she had when she was curating the gallery. But since the gallery doors have been closed, she's funneled that into sharing the kind of artists that she finds compelling with her students, and then finding ways for them to spark creative voices. So here is an example of a local artist finding their voice as a teacher and finding their voice as a shared partner in how we create meaning. So, and the last piece, this is, Lisa did a wonderful thing for me this week, and I was feeling a little bit off, and so she sent me a whole list of wonderful links, and one of them was a self-portrait, how to do a self-portrait. This is the New York Times, has a template. And I think a lot of us have been spending all these hours looking at our Zoom profile. In fact, at one point, I took a Post-it note and put it over my Zoom face so that I wouldn't have to look at it when I was in a meeting because it's so distracting. So a lot of us have been spending these hours upon hours looking at our faces. What not a better opportunity to turn that into a creative endeavor? And so this self-portrait how-to link is a really wonderful way of turning that, what sometimes is, the lighting's wrong, or, oh, God, my neck, or, you know, all those other sort of things that you can, those rabbit holes that you can go down, turn it into a beautiful creation of a self-portrait. So,
first of all, everybody is making the note about the sticky note thing and going, genius.
And it'll get you through a meeting. But then take the sticky note and do your self-portrait on the sticky note when you're done.
We'll get a link set up so that is also available to folks. I mean, why spend money on apps when you can do your own, you know,
exactly.
Caricature, your own, you know, your own cartoon. You could do the whole, it. Yeah. Sounds like
genius
to me.
Well, I talk about this over and over. When you have a pen and you are looking and translating that through your body, your brain is connecting just wonderful neurons that you didn't even know could connect. So there's power there.
Well, I take notes when you talk. Is that connecting with powerful neurons?
Absolutely. It does. In Germany, they have one day where they have to, where there's absolutely no screens, and students have to take notes by their hand. So there you go.
Well,
you're
all righty
the
then. So,
always ahead of the curve, Lisa.
Well, this is something I've been doing for decades, and I will never give up my taking notes by hand. That's part of how, of course, it impresses itself on your brain. But, you know, so be an artist or a reporter for a day and write down everything everybody says to you.
Absolutely.
And then when they say, I didn't say that, you can say, oh, yes, you did. It's right here in my notes. Annie, thanks a million for joining us this morning.
You,
it's always such a great treat. We'll talk again in a week.
Take care.
Annie Dugan this morning, our host for Where's Art, a regular feature of Northland Morning on Mondays here on KUMD.